Raise your hand if you've never lied. You just did. Who would agree we're all guilty of lying? And I've told big lies, and I've told little bitty lies, and all kinds of lies in between. I told a few just this last week. Today I'm continuing in our series, WWJD. I've got the shirt, you got the shirt, you got the bracelet. It stands for what? What would Jesus do? Let's say it all together. What would Jesus do? Now, to answer that question last week, I said we need to ask another question, and that is, what did Jesus do? If we want to know what Jesus would do in our situation, we can look back and find out what did he do in a similar situation. Last week, we learned that he would love first. The Apostle John writes, we love him because what? He first loved us. And the kind of love he has for us is an unconditional love. Last week, I shared with you, it's agape love. A lot of love that we have is not necessarily agape unconditional love. It's conditional love. You know, usually we love those who love us, and when they quit loving us, we quit loving them. That's not godly love. That's a natural love. It's a friendship kind of love. But God had this agape love, and we learned last week that he first loved us when we didn't deserve it so that we could love him in return. That's really what he desires. We call it worship. Not just singing, but living a life that honors him. That's worship. That's a worship life, right? And he expects us to love others the way he's loved us and the way we love him in return. And so when you think about loving God and loving people, it's kind of the vertical and horizontal relationships. I feel like a priest right now getting ready to bless the congregation. But it's a reminder of the cross. Amen. It reminds us to love God first and love others the way he does. Today I want to talk about the truth. WWJD, Jesus would what? Tell the truth. And nothing but the truth. And he expects us to do the same. For example, what do you say when someone asks your opinion and you have to choose between telling them the truth and risking hurting their feelings or telling them a lie because you don't want to hurt their feelings? Who's ever been in a jam like that? And I think we all have. And a lot of times we yield to telling them what they want to hear versus maybe what they need to hear. Sometimes we don't give our honest opinion when asked for it because our honest opinion isn't what they would want to hear, and we don't want to hurt them, so we're going to, what I call a necessary sin, we're going to lie a little bit for a bigger truth or a bigger yes, right? We love them. We don't want to hurt them. What would Jesus do in a situation like that? Let's go to the Word and find out. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth. And sometimes, Lord, we don't know your truth, and sometimes we don't like your truth. But thank you for giving it to us anyway. Thank you for your Word that represents your truth and who you are. And I pray, Lord, that we would come more into alignment with your truth than not. Would you speak to our hearts today and give us a heart to obey what we hear? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. For extra credit, you might go to Zechariah chapter 8. But if you can get one of those before I get there, you've done well. Real quick, I want to share with you a statistic or several statistics from Mastermind Behavior. It's a think tank. And they wrote an article last year called Unveiling the Truth About Lies. It says, on average, Americans are reported to tell about 11 lies per week. Average. That's average. So those that maybe tell two or three versus those that tell 20 or 30, the average is 11 lies per week, which breaks down to approximately 1.65 lies per day. Let's just round up to 2 lies per day, average. 60% of adults lie during conversations. When they're having a conversation with somebody, the average person lies 3 times every 10 minutes. Men and women tell about the same number of lives. I think men edged out the women because we like to win. But it said this, women are more likely to lie to make the person they're talking to feel good or feel better, while men lied most often to make themselves look better. What can I say? 90% of children comprehend the meaning of lying by age 4. So parents, if your kids tell you something or someone tells something about your kids that they said, don't go, oh, my kid would never do that. My kid doesn't lie. Quit saying that because your kid lies and he knows how to lie and he was born with that nature. That's why we have to teach him to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? 80%, 86% of those lies are to the parents. So catch this. 90% of them know how to lie starting at age 4, and 86% of the time it's directed at the parents. So when the kid tells you he hadn't lying, he might be lying. 90% of participants on dating sites. Willie knows firsthand. Is that where you met Belinda? Was she lying? Oh, okay. 30% confess to lying to their doctors. They weren't telling them about all the symptoms. And then 31% confess to lying on their resumes. So just because it's on a resume doesn't mean it's true, huh? So who'd agree that most people don't have a problem lying, they have a problem telling the truth? I'm going to skip my humorous story because of time today, but you can ask me sometime, I'll tell you in the hallway. But here's what I'm hoping to learn today. Because God is truthful, we should be truthful. Everything God says is true. Everything he does is true because he is truth. Isaiah 65:16 says that he's called the God of truth. Last week we talked about love, that God is love. He can't do anything but love. He loving you, right? He doesn't hate you. He hates things, but he doesn't hate you. He hates some of the things we do, but he doesn't hate us. He loves us. He leads with love. Same thing for truth. God is truth, so he can't lie. And we may not like his truth, but he's not going to lie to us. Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. He's the father of truth. The devil's the father of lies. David tells us what God delights in. He says, behold, you delight in the truth. So just know this. Every time you tell the truth, no matter how hard it is or how much trouble you're going to get into, it pleases God. It delights God when he sees you're in a tough jam and you still choose to tell the truth, knowing that there might be some consequences. Can I tell you this? There's consequences to lying. And you may not have to face them right off because you might get away with that lie for a while, but eventually it catches up with you. And usually what I have found out, the damage it does, the consequences of lying are far worse than the consequences had you just told the truth to begin with. Let's look at Proverbs 6, verse 16. That was the key passage I told you to turn to a while ago. Here's how God feels about lying. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven. I don't know. Maybe he forgot. Oh, yes, seven. Seven are an abomination to him. It means he doesn't like it. A proud look, a lying tongue. Usually lying comes where there's pride. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Those are seven things God hates. And notice lying is mentioned twice. He really hates lying because he is a God of truth. And whenever you move into the area of lying and you get off the plumb line of telling the truth, you get in trouble. It causes problems. He's trying to save us from that. Zechariah 8 says something similar about telling the truth. These are the things you shall do. Remember, lying is something he hates, but watch this. This is something you should do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath or a false promise. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. In other words, God's saying, tell the truth. Stop lying because I hate it. And so real quick, I'm going to give you six thoughts about how we can walk in truth, because God walks in truth, God is truth, and he wants us to do the same. So number one, you need to be truthful. Here's for starters, you need to be truthful with God. That's where it starts. Be truthful with God. If you're not truthful with God, who knows everything, you won't be truthful with yourself, you won't be truthful with others, and you won't really get ahead of the problem if you have a problem lying. I made a note here. God knows everything. So when you mess up, don't think about hiding it, thinking you're lying to God and going to get away with it. He already knows everything. In fact, I find great comfort to go to God first and confess my faults and my shortcomings and my lies, because I know he can handle anything I give to him. Okay? Now, I don't always trust people. I don't always know how people are going to respond, but I can trust God, and God never gets mad at me. He never disowns me. I, in the spirit, I've seen him roll his eyes like, why did you do something stupid like that? But I love you, and I'm going to help you make it right, but Bob, you got to tell the truth. That's where it starts. You got to go tell the truth. What is something you need to be truthful about with God today, in your life right now? Would you go to him today before you go to bed? Would you just go to him and confess that he already knows it? He's just wanting to see if you will be humble enough to admit it and then do something about it. Here's number two, be truthful with yourself. I wonder how many lies we tell or lies we tell about ourselves. And why do we do that? Well, we want others to think better of us. We want to feel better in the eyes of others. We want to be accepted, not rejected. I remember some of you have heard this story before, and I'll make it really short, but when I was called into ministry, my response was several lies. A pastor said, do you feel called into ministry? And I said, yes. He said, but would you pray about going into full-time ministry? And I said, yes, but I didn't. I lied. And then every once in a while he would check, hey, have you been praying? Yes, but I hadn't. I was giving him the answer I knew he wanted to hear, and it should have been my answer, but it wasn't, and so I lied to cover for it. And one day God nailed me in my office. He said, Bob, you've been lying as to why you're saying no. And the reason you're saying no is you can't trust me with your finances, and you don't respond well to authority. Guilty. And so I had to be honest. He said, how do you expect kids to put their trust in me when you can't? And so I had to be honest with God. I had to be honest first with myself, though. Those were really the reasons. And so once I brought it to light, then I knew those were my problems that were keeping me back. And for that reason, I'm going to say yes, because I don't want those reasons to keep me out of the will of God for my life. Be honest with yourself. I had to face the truth about myself, and now I'm sharing that truth. Did it hurt? Yes. But did it help me bring it to light and in the long run getting free from those problems? Absolutely. Lying has some short-term benefits, long-term consequences. So does telling the truth. The consequences with telling the truth are normally better than when you lie, both short-term and long-term. What is something you need to be truthful about with yourself today? And would you have that conversation with God, and for extra credit, would you have that conversation with someone that loves you the most, so you can bring it to light and not let it continue to harm you? Amen. Number three, be truthful with others. I love that opening video clip. We did bleep out some of the cuss words. But the clip was so good at explaining or illustrating what we deal with. We tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Jesus wasn't that way. I want to take you to Luke chapter 18, verse 18. You might write it down and go back and read the whole story later. It says, a certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. He said, all these I have kept since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. What would we have probably said? Great. Good job. He says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus spoke the truth to him, but it was a truth this guy either didn't want to hear or wasn't ready for. Jesus told him what he needed to hear, not what he wanted to hear. I'm thinking if I was that guy, I would have expected for God to say, good job, Bob. You know, 6 out of 10 ain't bad. Nobody's perfect. That's not what he said. What is something you need to be truthful about with someone else? Maybe you've been telling them a lie because you didn't want to tell them the truth, because you knew they might not take it well. That doesn't mean you need to lie. Either don't say anything or find a way to share that in a loving way. We're going to lead with love, but we're also going to share the truth. So we're going to share the truth, tell the truth, speak the truth in what? In love. But tell them the truth. As a pastor, I'm challenged with that on a regular basis. Do I tell them what they want to hear? Do I tell them what they need to hear? And many of you know I'll tell you. And I try to do it in love. I'll tell you what you need to hear more than what you want to hear. Because telling you what you want to hear probably doesn't change the problem. Telling you what you need to hear has a chance to change the problem. And that's what I'm believing you want and need. You want to change. You don't want to stay the same old way, or you wouldn't have called me in the first place. It's like the doctor telling you to, you know, take this medicine. Right? It's like Tammy, when we first started a family, we had 3 babies in 3 years. I said, are you swallowing the pill? You know, a doctor can prescribe you medicine, but if you don't take it, you're not going to get better. God, I'm sorry, I have to get back on track. I should have stuck with my notes. I just saw Tammy, though, and that thought came to my mind. All right, let's move to number 4 before I get in trouble and have to lie. Number 4, allow others to be truthful with you. Who would agree it's easier to give advice than to take advice or listen to advice? And many times when we ask someone, what do you think? We're fishing for a compliment that we want to hear out of their mouth. And when we don't get it, we get what? We get offended. Now you got to be careful with this one. Because if the question is like, do I look fat in this dress? That's a trap, men. That's a trap. Say no. No, you don't look fat in that dress. Now you're thinking you are fat in that dress. But it's not the dress. I mean, you can think those things, which are true. I don't know if I would speak that truth. I don't know how you would do it in love without getting, you know, responded to in a negative way. But listen, people, quit asking the questions if you already know the answer. The reason you're asking that question is you looked in the mirror and said, I look a little fat. I'm going to see what he says, or I'm going to see what she says. Take the dress off and put on something that fits. And it keeps everybody out of the doghouse. Amen? Allow others to be truthful with you. And if you'll ask them first. So if you know something's going on, if you feel like something's going on, would you go to that person and say, hey, I just feel like there's something between us. Have I said something or done something that has offended you, Chance? Tammy, ask them. It's a lot easier for them to say, well, now that you brought it up. And that's good. We want to bring it up because we don't want it to stay hidden. But it helps to ask and draw it out. Quit waiting for them to, because that's uncomfortable to lead with that. So ask them. You know, every 6 months we do reviews for our staff here, and I'm asking them, what can I do to be a better supervisor? What should I start doing that would help you? What should I stop doing that's not helping you? I'm asking them, and I'm giving them permission to tell me. And that's good in any relationship. I wrote down a few relationships where this is really helpful. Marriage, in a marriage relationship, in a work relationship, a work environment, in ministry, in your family. If you feel like or sense something going on, ask them, have I done anything to hurt you? Is there anything you need to tell me? Number five, admit when you're wrong. David had a problem doing that when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed to cover for it. Nathan came to him and said, David, he tells his story. He said, David, what would you do with somebody that did that? And he goes, well, I'd kill him, I'd hang him. And he said, well, David, you're that man. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to lift your skirt and expose the lie that you're living. It's very humbling or very embarrassing. I would say go ahead and get clean before he tries to clean you. Go ahead and confess it to him. Go ahead and confess it to the person you lied to or lied about. Let's go ahead and bring it to the light so you don't have to face it later. Great men are falling. Great women are falling in life because they tried to reveal a secret and it got exposed and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And God says, I don't want to see that happen to you. Go ahead and if you're doing something wrong, if you're living a lie, go ahead and deal with it and clean it up today. And ask God to help you get it right. And you might have planted some seeds from previous lies, and you're still going to reap those the harvest from that lie. But you know what? If you'll stop planting those seeds, you won't have to keep reaping the harvest. That's a lot harder to live with a lie than it is to live with the truth. You got to tell other lies to cover for the lie that you're telling. It's just a vicious circle. And then people will say this. They'll recognize you're a liar. They won't call it. But you know what? They don't want to have anything to do with you. They won't hire you if you're a liar. I don't want you leading a ministry if you're a liar. God knows if you're a liar. You know if you're lying. Between him and you, you have enough to fix it, but you got to choose to do that. So get good at admitting when you're wrong. I used to teach my kids, when they mess up, just come and tell me. If you come and tell me before I find out, you're ahead of the game. And usually I won't punish you or as much if you come and tell me first. But if I find out you didn't and you lied and whatnot, it's going to be double trouble. And so not that I enjoyed punishment, you know, spanking my kids on the rear end. I wanted to teach the importance of telling the lie when it's hard. Because in real life, if you don't tell the truth, it can be really hard for you later. I wanted them to learn to tell the truth no matter how bad they screwed up. Come clean with it, right? And kids get to practice that with their parents on a regular basis, right? Role model that to your kids. If you've messed up, go to your kids and say, hey, you know, the other day when I yelled at you before I heard your story, that was wrong of me. That was wrong of dad or mom. Would you please forgive me? Let them see you role modeling, asking forgiveness when you screwed up. Or maybe if you told a lie. We were headed home when our kids were young. We drove a minivan and had the kids in there and we were going to a baseball game and I was playing softball at the time, I think. Tim, I think it was maybe back at Church of the Hill. I can't remember when the kids were young. And I told them, if y'all are good, we'll stop and get Slurpees on the way home. That's back in the day at Slurpees. Are they still do Slurpees? Yeah. And so we're driving home. I think we lost the game. I was tired. The kids were, yeah. And I just want to get home. And we get about halfway home, and one of my kids says, Daddy, are we going to get Slurpees? I said, no, not tonight. I'm tired. But, Daddy, you said you would give us Slurpees after that game. Okay. And so, you know, right there on the spot, I was called out because I said something, and I didn't do it, which takes me to my last point here. Keep your word. Keep your word. If you're going to be truthful, you need to keep your word. My son reminded me that I wasn't keeping my word on the Slurpee, and so I had to make my word good, even though I didn't want to. I had to go and get them a Slurpee, right? There's also a story In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, there's a story that Paul was planning to visit Corinth on his way to Macedonia, but he had changed his plans. Who knows that sometimes we just have to change our plans. And if you read to the end of the story, Paul goes back to explain why he changed his plans, because keeping your word was important to him. Listen to what he said. "You may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I am like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, my word to you does not waver between yes and no." What was Paul trying to tell them? I changed my plans. I felt like I had to change my plans. If you go back and read it in context, he had to deliver some news to them that he wasn't ready, or they weren't ready to hear. And so he changed his plans. He delayed his plans going. But he wanted to explain to them why. It wasn't just because I made a commitment carelessly. That's the point he was making. When we tell somebody we're going to do something, do we really mean it? Do we do it carelessly? And it's not like, it's not worth what it was when we said yes, right? That yes, whatever we said yes to now is not as important as when we said yes. And now we're thinking about no. We're thinking about not showing up. We're thinking about not keeping our commitment. Christians are horrible at this. They think they have the grace of God to be sloppy in that, and really God says no. It's part of your character. It's part of being trustworthy. It's part of being truthful. If you say yes, keep your yes. If you're going to run late, call them ahead of time and say, "Hey, I'm on my way. I'm running late. I wanted to give you the courtesy of a call. I'm going to be 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late." Now they may say, "You know what? Then I have to change plans," and that's fine. But don't just show up late and expect them to forgive you. I mean, they will. Most of them, most of the time will. But that's not good character. That's not good leadership. If you say yes, keep your commitment, right? Here at church, when you join a church, or at work, when you go to work for somebody, there's certain commitments that you make. Keep those commitments. And if you find out that you're not keeping that commitment, either change it or change it, right? Either let them know I'm no longer going to do this, or you know what, you're right, and do what you say you're going to do. And then give some grace for changes. Sometimes people just need some grace. They change their plans. Who in here has ever not shown up to an appointment that you made? I'm sorry. Who has never showed up? Like maybe once or twice in your life, you made an appointment, forgot about it, and you stood them up. Today's on lying. Today is, the message is about lying. And I'm not moving on until every hand's raised. We all have done, see, some of you, it's hard to tell the truth. You don't want to tell your pastor that you've stood somebody up. We all have. All I'm saying is, it's not right. And try to minimize that. And then when it happens, apologize out the kazoo, because you want them to know, I don't want to be that way. Versus showing up late and not saying a word. Guess what? They now have categorized you as untrustworthy. And guess what? It'll affect the relationship. Nobody wants to hire people that are not trustworthy. It works against you if you do it in any other way other than what God says. Amen? All right. We got 3 minutes to take care of business. Would you bow your heads? Bow your heads. What is God speaking to you right now about truthfulness, being trustworthy, always telling the truth, even when it hurts, and not resorting to lies to avoid the hurt? You avoid the truth to feel better about yourself or to make someone else feel better. Always lead with truth and always lead with love. Father, we need help because our spirit man wants to always tell the truth and lead with love, but our flesh man doesn't. And on a regular basis, we experience this battle between our two natures. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would listen to this message again or go back and read the scriptures again about what your word says about always telling the truth no matter what. Would you help us be better at that? some lies we tell are just totally unnecessary. And I pray you'd bring conviction to us, and that our mouthpiece and our tongue and the words we use would be words of truth. And when we speak the truth, we get to experience the fruit of your joy and your peace. When we speak lies, we're unsettled. We have regrets. We carry guilt and shame. None of that is good. It doesn't look good on us. And so I pray today as we come to you and say, please forgive us for the lies we've told you and have told ourselves and told others. Forgive me, Lord, and help me be a man or woman of truth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you know, without surrendering your life to Christ, what I've preached about today is maybe not even of interest to somebody, or it's really hard to do without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're here today, but you've never really surrendered your life to Christ, you would say, my life isn't led by the Holy Spirit, it's led by everything else. And you'd like to change that today, would you just raise your hand and let's just bow our heads. I want to pray for those that raise their hand and really are sincere about getting right with God, getting in right relationship with God so he can direct you in the road, down this road that I've talked about today. Anybody in the house or watching online? Just tell God, God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And just cry out to the Lord today. Lord, I need to be saved. Would you save me from the penalty of my sinfulness? Just confess to him. I'm a sinner. I've sinned a lot. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your forgiveness. But I know you want to give it to me. And so today I receive it. I receive it and I say thank you for that in Jesus' name. Just pray to God and communicate to God that you want to follow him and his son Jesus for the rest of your life. I bet you things will get better. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Let's